45 seconds. Test 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello. Chris Cooley, going to talk about his weekend vacation.
We're not.
You come in.
I just don't know if I should formally announce the podcast. Hi, welcome to the Cooley Podcast with Larry Michael.
You can do better than that if you're actually going to formally do it.
Have you gotten an Alex Smith podcast in yet?
No, and you know what? Funny story. You got a second for a story?
I got.
I did an event this weekend where I judged the Dancing with the Stars competition. The folks there had told me that UNCP had hosted the event in the past.
We have done that.
Which is a very fun event. Great. There were 6 charities involved. And after I was done, you know, I was kind of loitering a little bit. One of my buddies actually won, a good friend of mine, Mike Manatos, won.
Hold on.
Well, it's even more to the story.
You're judging the event, and one of your really good friends won? That's fair.
Yeah, part of the Greek-American D.C. crew. And get this, he really danced good. He had rhinestones on his pants. He had rhinestones on his heels of his little dance shoes. Mm-hmm. And at the end, he says, one more thing. He gets his son. His son runs up a Redskins helmet, and he puts it in his hands like this. And he goes, okay, how about now? So I said, I was going to give you a 9.5, but I'm going to give you a 10 because you got the helmet.
Oh, boy.
But afterwards, I was kind of hanging out a little bit, and this lady came up to me, and I think she had had a couple drinks. You know, they were serving alcohol at this event.
Yeah, they do that at events.
Yeah, and she was, she just came up to me, and she started talking to me about knowing the Smiths. And I was wondering, which Smiths
hey,
is
you
she
know
talking
the Smiths?
About? She says she's good friends with the Smiths.
I know the Smiths.
You probably have some Smiths that you know. You probably have a few Smiths that you know. Well,
yeah.
Anyway, that threw me. And then she told me a first name, which I didn't quite strike me. Then she said Alex Smith. And I said, wow, that's kind of cool. And she goes, you know him? I said, yeah. I work with the Redskins. And then she hustled off after. I think I scared her. I might have said something to her. I don't know. This lady came up
it's
and asked
to
me
recap
for,
all the
lady asked me for an autograph, and the other lady ran away. I don't know. She got pissed that I stopped paying attention to her.
What do you do?
I don't want to go into that.
You don't chase her down.
No.
Come back. I'm sorry. So are you okay? Is something wrong? Did I say something wrong?
She left as though I said something wrong. And if she's listening to this podcast right now, she knows who she is.
You feel remorse for this?
She left me standing there. I don't really care. I forgot about it real quick.
Maybe she had someone in the event that she thought should have won, and you judged them improperly.
Well, she walked off in a huff. I think she was pissed. I really do.
She might have been.
I don't know. How was your weekend? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah, I watched kids do water slides. And
wasn't it a little cold for water slides?
You know what? So this is... I was at Great Wolf Lodge. We took the kids down there.
Good. Good.
That's a long drive.
How long did it take you? It
took 3.5 from here.
3.5 from here?
A little bit of traffic.
From Loudoun?
From old Loudoun County.
3.5?
Actually, it took 3.5 from Tyson's.
Jeez. Where is it anyway?
It's in Williamsburg.
Williamsburg, Virginia?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. There's probably another Williamsburg somewhere.
Yeah,
Williamsburg, Virginia. Yeah,
Williamsburg, Virginia.
Kids must have had fun, though.
Yeah, it was really fun. Here was my highlight of the weekend. They have one of those giant arcade rooms that you can win tickets.
Yeah, yeah.
And the tickets get prizes.
Like Dave and Buster's.
Yeah. My wife and I probably got more into that than the kids.
You were competitive, I bet.
Well, there are certain games, but she was into it, too.
Ski ball?
Yeah, I don't like ski ball.
You like ski ball?
The carnival game where you knock the clowns down.
Sure, you're throwing.
Really good. Dad's watching me play that game.
With a little ball, a little baseball type
I
of thing?
I guarantee you on a 8 paw pass swipe, I can win 75 tickets on that sucker.
Really?
Minimum.
Pop a shot?
I had a couple high scores that gives you 500 tickets. We got all kinds of.
Wow.
We spent $135 on those cards throughout.
Yeah?
To win about, in real money, $24 worth of prizes. But that's 10,000 tickets, buddy.
What was the biggest prize that the kids wanted? Because the kids wanted, right? You guys.
Well, they got all kinds of stuff.
Like stuffed animals?
We ended up deciding that we would go with the 6,000 ticket purchase of Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Oh, I love Rock'em. The actual game?
The actual game.
That's the best.
So then we played Rock'em Sock'em Robots for about 9 minutes last night when we got home and said, yeah.
That was it.
That's it.
Knocked the block off and that was it.
I got some stuffed animals and some balls and some things. And
dude, come on. What would have been something if you had, if you didn't have kids and you were there with 10,000 tickets? Is there anything you would have gotten?
No, there was nothing good there. There was some wireless headphones for 10,000 tickets we could have gotten.
That's wireless headphones. I mean, you could use those.
Didn't need any, so.
No, you didn't need them.
Those prize bins are. I really thought that
such a
they should have just gotten like 600 little tiny prizes, like the 20 ticket prizes.
You could have made that stretched out for weeks. Could have been. How about the big prize the Redskins got today? New starting quarterback for the rest of the season.
A prize.
Is that a prize or a surprise?
It's not a surprise.
Not a surprise.
No.
No.
No, you and I talked about it last week.
Yes.
We pretty much had the idea that Bill was going to do that.
Yes.
I'm surprised he didn't announce it last week.
Did you listen to the press conference, in fact, how how it was positioned today by the coach? And you're a player. You're a player. Let me ask you this. You could still be a player. If you really wanted to, you could still play pro football. Couldn't you?
Yeah.
You could. You're in pretty good shape.
Not for
You haven't abused yourself too
wouldn't,
bad.
I wouldn't be the same, not for long kind of deal.
All right, so
yeah, sure.
In your last 5 years as a pro, which would have been after Joe Gibbs would have left, how often did a coach come up to you to tell you something was happening in your career to make sure you were okay with it?
Never.
I knew that was the answer. Never.
I had to go to them. I had to go to Sean McVay and Mike when I came back and they weren't playing me. Consistently berating them with, why am I not playing? Am I not playing?
Did you wear them out?
This doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Someone else has earned the opportunity. And that's what someone like Colt McCoy is going to go through now.
Would they react to you with any kind of, well, by the way, Chris, we'll talk about that later and well, we'll have a chance to sit down and talk about that.
Well, we'll meet next Tuesday. Next Tuesday? And then maybe at the end of the year we'll talk about it when you're not coming
back.
Oh,
God, we can't do it Tuesday. How about next Friday?
Look, you handle it however you want to handle it. But if you want to handle it in the easiest fashion, unless you didn't know Dwayne was going to start, which seems – I hope he knew.
How would he not know?
There wasn't a decision to make there.
He started the last game.
I don't want to come down – hard on this. I'm just saying, if you want to make life easier on yourself, announce it right after Dwayne finished the game and come in your press conference the next day. Say the kid handled things really well, gives us some things to build on. It's probably going to be our guy. I got to talk to the young quarterbacks. I'll make the official announcement before we leave for the weekend. But the talk to your guys thing, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he called them back in because he said he was going to talk to them. I'm sure he called them back into the office, had the discussion. The talk to your guys thing can happen as you walk off the field before the press conference. Colt, Case.
Right.
We're going to start Dwayne the rest of the year. I'm going to announce it in the press conference today. If you have some questions, feel free to come in the office. We can have a chat about these things. But just so you're heads up, I'm going to announce it today. You didn't have to wait 4 days to announce it.
No.
I just think he made it harder on himself because the guys in the media were – they grinded him.
It was like six questions in a row. The same question. I have a theory, and again, as I have theories, the Chris Cooley Show, the Chris Cooley Podcast, whatever you're calling
it. Podcast with Chris on it and now Larry on it most times.
Whatever it is. This is a good platform for me to tell you what's on my mind sometimes.
Mm.
Because sometimes on Redskins Nation, the video has to dictate. So – he's an interim head coach. He's put a lot of little subtle things in. I saw the zebras going out there today. And was there a zebra conference out there today, by the way? Probably not at practice. There's no zebra conference.
They confer with each other a lot at practice.
Not
they,
four
they,
together.
They check though. Back and forth. You should see them, though. They check back and forth with each other often at practice.
Four of them together?
There were six of them out there today.
Did they have a zebra conference?
No, they didn't have a real zebra conference.
But I'm just thinking that Bill Callahan – came in here with this team really, really struggling. And he's thinking through every single thing he does. He's thinking through. So if this wasn't the situation, maybe he would have stated what seemed to be obvious to the media last Monday that Dwayne would be announced as a starter. But maybe he just wanted to be super smart about it, think everything through, and really think, why would I even have to tell the media this, even if I know this is the case? And who really knows, Chris, when he might have told Dwayne? We don't know.
In all fairness, it's one of the failures, and I think this exists throughout the coaches, the players that haven't been here for an extended period of time, is they don't quite understand some of the angst that this media has. And so I think you probably leave the press conference and go, can't they just understand that I wanted to talk to the guys first and I didn't want to make this announcement all willy-nilly?
Yeah.
And they don't. They just don't.
No.
But you and I have been here, so we know they don't. What are they going to ask? How are they going to ask it? What are we going to get out of it? What do they need to hear?
Well, I mean, what if he had said yes? Then the news would have been out within 2 seconds. Then what? Then what?
What happened today?
I mean,
Dwayne's starting. You know. We knew Dwayne was going to start. I don't have a real problem with how he handled it. It doesn't bother me. I just think he made it harder on himself to go through that press
conference. Yeah, you said that to me before.
It doesn't. You're going to start one guy or another. It doesn't make a difference to me how you announce it or when you announce it.
You know,
but you just made it harder on yourself.
You know, it's funny today. The final question of the press conference was, I don't want to say it was a legitimate question. It was a question.
Who was it?
It was Matt Paris of the Times.
Okay.
You know Matt?
Yeah, I know.
He says, this is the way the press conference ended. You can see this on Redskins.com. He says, Adrian Peterson and Darius Geis. Is Adrian Peterson was inactive the last time Darius Geis played. He says, could that happen on Sunday against the Jets? No. That was it.
No.
Two-letter word, one-word answer, no. And then he walked off. Then Callahan walked off.
He didn't walk off in a huff, though, right?
No.
He was just done.
But he's got a swagger to him that I like. He's a man who's confident in who he is, and why not? He's not going to be defined by what happens here. He wants to win. He wants to obviously make his mark and find some way for this team to win. But at this stage of his coaching career, I mean, a guy's been in coaching for like 40 years, Chris. Started as a high school coach. He's been through it. Coach of Oakland, coach of the Oakland Raiders, coach of the Nebraska Cornhuskers.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was a coach that wanted to go to Nebraska and throw the ball. Oddly enough, he was the coach that got fired for going to Nebraska and trying to throw the ball. And now he's the coach that wants to run the ball.
Well, check his record at Nebraska. I have not checked that. But maybe it's a good idea to check
it's
that.
It's not great.
It's not great?
No.
Well, let me look it up.
Yeah, you go ahead and look that up. Did you watch football over the weekend?
I watched a lot of football. A lot of football.
So I watched.
It what specifically?
I was hoping my son would take a nap later on Saturday so I could watch all of the LSU game. I watched the first half of the LSU-Alabama game. I had no choice.
Yeah.
Obviously, I wanted to sit and watch the entire game. It was an awesome game. I watched all the highlights. I'll watch it on film when it comes out. When it comes out to the movies this week on my iPad. It hasn't gotten there yet. But I watched all of the Minnesota game.
Minnesota-Penn
State. Minnesota's going to be really interesting because
what a great finish.
They have two tough games coming up with Iowa and Wisconsin out of their last three. But the Big Ten has a championship game. They're going to play Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. Minnesota really needs Ohio State to lose a couple games so they don't have to play Ohio State in the championship. And then they could be considered to be a playoff team. They're not beating Ohio State. No one's beating Ohio State right now. LSU, maybe Alabama, but nobody in the Big Ten's touching Ohio State. Ohio State is unbelievable. Now, they played Maryland, but that game got out of here. I watched the first.
Come on.
I watched that game for a while.
I settled in. I was going to watch my alma mater, see what they could do. As the saying goes, that went ugly early. Now, I punched in Bill Callahan, and the first thing that comes up, Bill Callahan's American singer, songwriter, and guitarist, who's recorded and performed for the band named Smog.
Man, he was in Smog first, huh?
And Bill Callahan is from Silver Spring, Maryland, my hometown. Ironically enough, the Bill Callahan that came up is the lead singer from Smog. So, I don't know.
So
I'm still looking here, Cooley. He's Bill Callahan's got a huge. Let's see. We got to find his record here. But
you're going to just sit here and look up Bill Callahan's record?
27-22.
Yeah, you're not going to get it done in Nebraska.
Yeah, but Nebraska really has had a hard
in 2004. Well, that wasn't when Nebraska started to turn downhill a little bit. The 2000, I played
took over
Nebraska
team.
Twice in the early 2000s. They were still a good team. They weren't the team they'd always been.
Coach had an 8-4 record his second year, a 9-5 record his third year.
9-5 is not getting it done in Nebraska at that point in time.
I know.
That's a good NFL record.
Went to the Alamo Bowl, went to the Cotton
Bowl.
9-5. But, you know, Scott Frost is having a hard time there now. Real hard.
Yeah, Lee, I'm surprised that Scott Frost. For a college coach, you got to have – it's got to be year three. Because
yeah,
you don't have
–
this is year two. You don't have your recruits. You don't have the guys that you want to build around. You're trying to make the statement that this is the type of football that we want to play, yada, yada, yada.
Oh, I don't know.
You got to at least have the guys that you brought in becoming juniors or redshirt sophomores before you can tell anybody. And that's what college football coaches are hired to do at this point. You want them to be very good coaches, but – you got to recruit. That's the deal.
What LSU did, they went and told the kids who were going to Alabama in the stands to change their commitments after the game. Players went over and told the kids who were up there, the recruits for Alabama, hey, come with us.
Come to LSU.
Come with us.
How would you not want to play for that coach?
I love that guy. I don't know. I don't know how long. I mean, he seems to me like a guy that's going to burn out real quick.
I would love to have seen if he would have worked, if it would have worked at SC. Because he was the interim at SC and they didn't keep him.
I don't think that's going to work.
He doesn't seem like an SC fit.
No.
But he's amazing at LSU. It's funny how it's just perfect for
him.
He's
right out the bayou, Cooley.
He sounds like he's right out the bayou. He's awesome, though.
It's a good team. Good quarterback, obviously. The quarterback there is such a key.
The quarterback's going to be the first pick of the draft.
Yeah.
Let's stop all this
tank for Tua stuff.
Tua looked okay. He looked like he was hurt a little bit. 21 days off of surgery. He's back playing.
He didn't look that great. I didn't watch the whole game.
I
There's
don't
a lot
think
of
he's
talent.
Looked that great this year. Alabama hasn't. Currently, they do not have a team on their schedule that they've played that's ranked.
So it could be LSU, Ohio State in the big game, huh?
Probably going to be LSU, Alabama in the first.
They'll play again?
In the first round. Well, the one would play the four.
So that's the projection, huh?
I just don't want to play Ohio State. But Ohio State, Clemson will be a good game, too.
Yeah.
That's what it seems to be. Minnesota seems to be the odd team out. But if Minnesota somehow put together
somebody can still lose. There's a long way to go here.
There's a lot of football to go.
Clemson ain't losing.
Clemson doesn't play anybody.
They don't play anybody.
Clemson lost to Syracuse a couple
How
years
How about
ago.
This? Random. Deion Sanders going to be the head coach at Florida State.
Can you really see that?
I don't know, but a guy came in here, a guy that's very loud, who used to play here, and he's from Mississippi State. He came in here. He told me that if Deion Sanders gets that job, every kid in Florida is going to sign to go to Florida State. I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. He's such a dynamic and just his personality is magnetic. I don't know. I don't know if that's all you need. I mean, Ed Orgeron comes into your kid's room. Hey, you talk like this. Hey. I go to LSU.
Welcome to LSU.
What a voice he's got.
You don't want to come to LSU? Lose my number. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Get away from me.
Pretty much going to tell you, you know,
now he's
blank you.
Yeah, so there's only a few guys that can tell you, I don't want to talk to you. Deion would be one of those guys. The funny thing about Deion is he's not taking any job that's not the head coaching job.
No.
You can't bring Deion into Florida State and say, recruit for us. You got to make him the head coach. Then you got to put then he's got to put a staff together. That'd be really interesting to see how Deion put a staff together.
He's got a lot of guys he knows, man.
They
would flock. And he's not really on TV that much anymore. Somebody told me he's coaching high school football. His kids are getting through high school. One of his kids, I believe they said, plays at South Carolina or someplace.
Right.
So anybody that has ever known him is going to send their kid there. The guy's just – I love the guy. I've met him a few times.
Everyone in the NFL, everyone that he interviews, all the players.
Just a great guy. What you see is what he is. He's just an upbeat person. That's what I like about
people. I'd like to see him do that. I love the outside of the box hire. Everyone gets so – tunnel visioned as to who your next coach has to be and why, and he has to have done X, Y, and Z. And I think the outside of the box hire is really interesting.
College, you can do that much more than the pros.
Doing the pros, they hired Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona.
That was outside the box.
That was way.
That
it's
was
going
way
to become
outside
more
box.
Outside. It's going to become outside the box. You're going to have two outside the box hires this year, I'll bet you. Because who's going to get hired?
I don't know, but it just struck me that on the podcast last week, on the Chris Cooley show. Whatever this thing is called, we started talking about how analytics creeping into these fourth down conversion attempts,
right,
and third down. And Riverboat Ron yesterday went for two, down by 14, scores a touchdown, and goes for two, which everybody was shocked. Why wouldn't you just go for the one? Then when you get your next touchdown, you get the one, or maybe you go for two. It depends. He says 100% analytics that if he had made it, he could have won the game on a kick, or what you would call a field goal, but actually it's a PAT. Yeah. Or since he missed it, he had a chance, if he scored a touchdown, to tie it with the two. So he says the percentage was were to go for two after the first touchdown.
Yeah, I think it's – but it's amazing because I watched that. No, I would have kicked the field goal.
PAT.
Yeah, you wanted to hear field goal. It's amazing, though, because you're calling him Riverboat Ron. In the first series of the game, they're driving. They get the ball down to the 42. It's a fourth and three on the other side of the field, and they punt.
And they punt. Yeah, I don't
get every analytic says don't punt it. Now, Green Bay ended up punting, turning it over on downs, and Carolina scored on the next possession. So maybe he was right there. But fourth and three on the 42, and I got Aaron Rodgers on the other side of the field. I want to lengthen possessions.
Yeah.
In fourth and three, I got Christian McCaffrey. I think I got a shot, man.
Let me ask you this. Baseball is kind of where analytics really have come up, right? I mean, baseball, they really – it kind of rules their life, right?
Right.
Moneyball, the whole bit. It was all based on analytics. And there's 162 games a year. In football, you have a much smaller sample size. Why are the percentages that strong? Why do you go with that if there's fewer stats available? So you're talking, he's saying the percentages, and I think you got to go percentages year by year. You can't carry over stats because the game changes.
Well, yeah, and you also have to go feel of the game, the defense you're playing, the team you're playing,
so
that's the situation.
I'm wondering if that, if NFL leaning or use of analytics is actually diluted compared to baseball because of the few games you play in pro football.
Well, there's so many analytics to so many situations. Like, I can tell you right now that the Jets on second down and eight are an 88% passing team. Almost, and after the first quarter, 100. They throw a second eight, they're going to throw the ball. They're on second 10, they're 50-50 early in games. On second and eight, they're throwing the ball. That's an analytic, though. That would change how I play defense. But at the same time, if I'm the Jets, I get the same information. I'm like, man, I'm throwing the ball every second. For whatever reason, second and eight hits my brain as this is a situation where I want to throw the ball. It does. That's what it's doing to Adam Gase right now.
Yeah.
Right? But that's an analytic. But now you're saying, when do we really trust that analytic and play them? We'll watch. We're going to play the Jets in a week. Second and eight. The second and eight's coming up.
They're throwing, baby.
They're going to throw the ball.
88%.
So there's a lot of those weird analytics.
How about the Redskins analytics? It's hard to figure out what the Redskins analytics is because you have a new coach, things have changed. So
I did this last week.
Did?
I can do. There's a really cool deal here that I got. It's a very special website that combines all the analytics that pro teams have, and
style.
So I can go into the team stats and I can essentially filter down and distance,
break
run, pass, down. Direction of run.
So how often in the last four games have the Redskins run on first down?
That's a
my
great
friend.
Well,
come on. This is something you bring up.
I
you bring it up all the time.
Yeah, no, we can do this. It's not that hard to do.
Well, I don't know. I'm thinking outside. Whoops, sorry.
Oh, you're going to go to the fish market restaurant. That sounds good.
That's not good.
<That's not good.
laughs> So did you look it up, or it's too hard
to
find?
On first and ten, it's pretty often. It's not, though, because if you just say first and ten, you also include the fourth quarter. So the Redskins are close to 70% run on first and ten when they are in the game. But in the fourth quarter, the Redskins on first and 10 are 78% pass.
Yeah, it's a situation.
So you got to take that fourth quarter out of the equation,
situation.
Right? So you have to factor in that. But they are heavy run on first and 10. Heavy run.
Okay, Go ahead. I'm going to tell you right now, New York Jets rated second against the run defensively in the National Football League. And Greg with three G's going up against a rookie quarterback, his first home start.
This is the third rookie quarterback they'll face in 4 weeks. They faced Gardner Minshew, they faced Daniel Jones, and now...
Well, what do you suspect Greg with three G's is going to do?
So everyone thinks that Greg is going to blitz Dwayne and come from all angles.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised that if they just don't change a lot of... They do blitz a lot, but I don't think that they'll... I think they'll feel like they can get home with four and five-man rushes. A blitz is a five-man pressure. It is a blitz, but I don't see him really going all out hard because I don't know if their corners are great matchups versus our receivers. Like Nate Harrison and Darryl Roberts and Brian Poole's their nickel guy.
Right.
I like those matchups.
Adams is their safety.
Yeah, Jamal Adams is a very good player.
He's a good player. He's a very good player. He's the guy that popped off because he wasn't traded. Or he was the guy that was shopping him, right?
Right. He said he's comparable to Tom Brady. That's a little bit different.
They don't shop Tom Brady. I don't know about that.
He had a strip fumble against Daniel Jones in the game Sunday where he just took it from him.
I'll tell you what, Daniel Jones doesn't look like he's gotten any better. He really doesn't. He really doesn't.
No, he's struggling right now.
He is struggling.
It's hard for young quarterbacks not to.
And Darnold said that they're going to win out. Did you see that? Sam Darnold said, we're going to win out. Got a shot at the playoffs, 2-7, baby. We're going to win out.
He didn't mention the playoffs, did he?
He did.
They're good up front. They're good on defense. They're actually almost average in every statistical category on defense. A little bit better in turnover differential. But to be as anemic as they are on offense.
Oh, horrible.
It's hard to be average on defense. Your time of possession for them is like 27. I mean, you have essentially an extra 10 snaps a game on defense from what the average of every other NFL team is. They're not bad.
So the Redskins.
Yards allowed, they're pretty good. Third downs are pretty good. They get some turnovers. They're very good against the run.
Le'Veon Bell. They got Le'Veon Bell. 31st rushing, 32nd passing. Look it up. That's what they are.
Oh, they're not
32nd overall.
And no, they're tied with us in third down conversions. They're not much better since Darnold's been back. Tied with us at 32nd in first downs per game at 14.1 first downs per game.
It's not pretty.
That's not good enough. And it's not. Yeah. Like, you can look at these numbers and say that maybe it was my guy from Logan High School, Luke Falk.
Yeah.
But they're not much better since Darnold's been back.
Fails is the backup now. I would change my name if it was Fails.
Fails.
F-A-L-E-S.
Fails. Fails.
Fails.
Again.
They got to change your name as a quarterback.
So I had some – I watched football yesterday. Lots of football.
I know you did.
I got back in the back end of the 1 o'clock games.
You saw Lamar Jackson then,
but let me just say this. He's amazing. I want to talk to you about Lamar Jackson.
Wow.
But let me just start with this. One, I don't know if you have the DirecTV package or all the games. I would, but I don't because how often do I get?
I can screen mirror my phone, and I got Red Zone on my phone, so I just pop it up on my phone.
I don't like the Red Zone
Apple
channel.
TV. You told me that before. You like to see
a game.
I like
to see a game from start to finish. Yeah. But I don't like to see a game from start to finish when it's a game I don't want to see.
Right.
Yesterday,
which one was that?
The Ravens-Bengals is on.
Not a good game.
They ended up changing it over to Kansas City, Tennessee, with plenty of time left in that ball game, so you could watch the end of it. And that was amazing.
That was a good
game.
But
Ravens-Bengals, we should have more options.
No.
Or they should switch
the
game. The network should switch a game earlier.
No.
Why does the network not switch a game earlier?
Waiting for RG3 to get in the game.
He threw a pick. Why does the network not switch a game earlier?
You can't just arbitrarily.
Why was Jets-Giants on?
Probably because it's NFC East team.
In our market, I'm aware of that, but why is that game on?
Every game's on.
But why was that game the main attraction on channel, I think that was.
On channel 5?
I can't remember if that was a Fox.
It would have been channel 5 because it was a Jets home game. Yeah, it was a Fox game.
Why was that game on?
Because it was the one that they decided appealed the most to the D.C. viewer.
Well, they're wrong.
Because the Redskins play the Giants in a few weeks, and the Redskins play the Jets in a couple of weeks. Redskins play both these teams before the end of the year. Let the local people see these two teams play.
What would you have preferred? Falcons, Saints? That was interesting. Bills,
I
Bills Browns.
That.
Bills-Browns was a more intriguing game.
I saw some of the Bills-Browns game. That was a horrible game. And Freddie Kitchens just, I don't know. I don't know about
the
old Freddie.
Red zone play calling is
just, you
awful.
Know, what was it, 12 times? 12 times stopped, first and goal at the two? 12
Jeez
times?
Louise.
I don't know.
All right, let's run through the day. These were the things I wanted. I wrote down the things that I wanted
you,
to talk
you
about.
You are a note-taker.
I'm going to start
copious
with
amounts of notes.
The Cowboys game.
Yeah.
Which was the
late
last
night.
Night.
Yeah.
One, the Dak warm-up is...
That's weird.
It's weird.
Why is he doing that?
It's he like does it every week.
Hula dance. It's like a hula dance. I don't get
it. Like Tiger Woods, he's got to activate his glutes?
I don't know.
It's a really weird thing to do.
It looks
pre-game.
Weird. It looks weird. It looks like he's going to hurt
also,
himself. It's really weird.
Do you continue to do that? Yeah, if you haven't seen it, look
yeah
at you. If you were listening to the podcast, you watch football, you've probably seen it. But do you continue to do that if now we're going to put that out on TV every week and people are going to talk about it? I'd stop.
I don't know.
I'd just do it in the locker room for a minute.
I'm almost thinking that, you know, if you have any kind of groin, thigh, hammy, stomach, glute, any type of muscle issue, that can't be good for you. That can't be good for you. It just seems to me like violent shifting of your pelvic muscle, or of your pelvis. Almost like you want to almost dislocate your hip sockets.
It's violent.
It's violent. It's a violent motion, Cooley, a very violent motion.
But I'm not sure that I think he's training with John Beck in the offseason.
Well, good for him. I'm
if
sure
I'm right
that'll
on
pal-
that, I think he's – I think – I'll Beck? Have to look that up. John Beck is a quarterback trainer now.
Well, so is
Jordan
Palmer. Who really did – he did a great
Joe Gibbs,
impersonation at rookie day.
I actually
day.
Have that.
You still have that video? God, that was funny.
Joe
man.
Didn't want it out, so I never put it out.
No, I remember seeing that. That was pretty funny.
All right.
That's
so here's
one.
My thing.
Is these your main points?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about these games. The yeah. Cowboys don't look like – the Cowboys look like the best non-playoff team I've ever seen in my life.
Don't look as good as they did earlier.
That coach is going to have a really hard time surviving this
running
year.
Game's kind of dead. Defense.
They've only run it against bad teams.
How about cover the tight end, Cooley?
Rudolph made some two unbelievable plays.
Dahmer.
The first catch Rudolph made in the back of the end zone was wow.
One-hander, toe-tap in
toe
the back of the end zone.
The back.
Wow. Where can the Redskins
Dalvin Cook's amazing.
Yep.
I'll put it, let's say that.
Like, hey, Kirk Cousins won a primetime game.
Kirk Cousins,
I mean, you got to give it to Kirk Cousins.
Two in a row because he beat us on
you
Thursday
know?
Night.
That was a big win for them.
But the Cowboys are loaded with weapons. Ezekiel Elliott, Amari Cooper, Cobb, Gallup's a good player. Witten still makes a ton of plays.
Witten doesn't make no. The other
guy. Yeah, but Witten's defined the whole.
Who's the other guy? The other tight end.
Garwin.
Jarwin.
Jarwin.
Blake Jarwin. Blake Jarwin. That guy looks like an athletic tight end. Witten should have just stayed in the booth.
Witten's still a good. No, I'm sorry. But then you look at their defense. Jalen Smith, Leighton Vander Esch, Lawrence. Owuze's a good corner. Sean Lee's on that team. Quinn, the guy they signed. They're the Pro Bowl roster of all. They're as good of a roster as there is right now in the NFL.
You are right,
sir. And they are on the track. They're not going to make a wild card. I don't think.
Well,
I still think you got to win.
Think Philly wins the division?
Who would you trust more right now, Philly or Dallas?
Neither.
You got to
pick
one.
Philly don't look good. I can't pick either. Giants, Cowboys, Redskins.
The Giants are not going to win the division
anybody
after
but,
losing to the
anybody
Jets.
But those other three teams.
We're definitely not going to win the division.
It's a long shot at best.
Larry.
It would be a miracle.
I saw odds the other day on us winning the NFC, the conference. I think it was 5,000-1.
Well, you think 500 might win the division? It's possible.
Can we roll off seven straight here?
No, just 500, one game at a time.
No, I think 9-7 wins the division.
Right. That's just
going to come down to that last Dallas-Philly game.
And you got three games. You got the Redskins playing the Cowboys last game of the year. Knock them out of the playoffs.
I think the Vikings are a good team. But I think the Cowboys are a better team. And did you not think it was amazing at the end of the game that they're sitting there trying to save time to win a game that they're down in, to not give Minnesota time on the flip side of the ball?
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I think that's a team that there's always so much drama with the Cowboys. And between Elliott, who's kind of, you know, he didn't practice all year, right? He didn't practice at all. Came out early. He looks like he's tired. He looks like he's not the same guy. I know Zimmer committed to stopping him for sure, right? And Zimmer knows how to coach defense.
20 carries for 47 yards.
And it didn't look very good. He wasn't exploding. He wasn't getting to the – they were hitting him in the backfield, which, again, indication of your offensive line not getting it done as well. So Cooper's a little banged up.
Elliott didn't have really anything in the pass game either. He had two receptions. You got to give him the ball in the pass game if you can't give him the ball in the run game. But that said, you're still looking at Prescott's 28 of 46 for 397 yards.
Prescott cannot beat you himself. He needs that running game. It is crucial to his success to have a running game.
He had 400 yards without a running game.
Well, I mean, they had to. They were down. They were down 14-0 in that game.
Early. But they battled right back. They got back in that game. It was a good ball game. I just don't trust Dallas to be a playoff team.
Why Jason Garrett, after those two touchdowns, you see him holding up a finger like we're only going for one. It was really weird.
Maybe they had a conversation within the week that we could potentially go for two in certain situations.
Watch me. I might just call it. It just seemed weird to me. It was so obvious. They're down 14-0. They score a touchdown. We're going for one. It's like, yeah? And he's like,
It should actually be one of those check with me type calls that the quarterback has the line of scrimmage. That if he doesn't check it, you just go with the first call. Like, field goal team run out unless he's holding up two fingers.
Yeah, cause for a little bit of an element of surprise. Did you see the onside kick by Ohio State?
No.
You didn't see that. So, the kicker.
How are you going to onside kick Maryland?
The kicker popped it into the air 20 yards high, like a little wedge. And the guy, the gunner, caught it on the run up the sideline. And stepped out of bounds. I've never seen an onside kick like that. It was a pooch kick into the air, like a little 20-yard wedge shot, high. Gunner runs down, gets it easy. Maryland wasn't even paying any attention.
You got to pay attention.
Well, yeah.
It's really a key for the frontline
guys. Harvard of the Mid-Atlantic, they went to sleep on that one.
Pay attention. Okay.
Yeah, you got something else on your list.
I got a lot of things on this list.
Yeah.
The Rams can't score against Pittsburgh. They didn't score an offensive touchdown.
Bortles got in that game, too, you know.
Yeah.
He put Bortles in that game, and he had to say, and Sean had to say at the press conference, it was a special play we had in for Blake. I don't know. I think he's thinking about it, Cooley. He's thinking about benching Goff. Even though they paid him a ton of freaking money, he does not look like he's worth it.
So I had two things that I want to talk about from this game.
Okay.
Well, really three, but as far as the Rams go, Goff can't play if conditions aren't perfect.
I know.
If he is not in perfect conditions, he can't play.
No.
And he right now is seeing quarters coverage to all his play-action shots that he wants. It's hard to say that that's what Pittsburgh
is. Is he seeing ghosts?
He is not anticipating throws. And if he doesn't have Cooper Kupp, he does not have timing and rhythm. And they doubled Cooper Kupp, and he didn't have a catch in that game.
Four targets, no catches.
But here's the other really, really fascinating thing with the Rams.
Yes.
Either let's deal Todd Gurley, which is hard because they've just paid him as well, or play him. He had 12 carries. He averaged 6.1 yards a carry. He didn't go in the fourth quarter. To pretend that there's not drama between those two is ludicrous. There is 100% drama between Todd Gurley and McVay. Now, McVay said it was the rotation thing. Well, you know, it's a rotation. I'm letting the running backs coach dictate the rotation.
Sean is saying he's trying. It's his explanation.
Get Gurley in the game.
Yeah.
Sean knows everything that goes on in the play. He's like photographic memory guy.
Yeah.
He knows Gurley's not in there.
What, he thought that Gurley was out there? Or did he say he thought?
No,
what?
He knows Brown's out there.
I missed him. I thought I saw him out there.
He doesn't trust Gurley.
He sure doesn't.
For whatever reason.
Sure doesn't.
The NFL missed something in that game, I think.
What did they miss?
They had a
ball?
Yeah, I think so. They had a punt that hit a Steelers player in the back. We've been talking about this punt.
I saw that.
And then they reviewed it because the Steelers said it hit a Rams player. But then in the review, they went back in and said that it was an illegal touch because he went out of bounds first. He can't be the first to touch it, and they assessed the penalty. You can't go back to review and then throw a flag on the field.
That's true. So that's Al Riveron at his best, huh? So they reviewed it for one reason, saw something else, and threw a flag as a result?
I think so. I don't think there was ever a flag on the field. No,
that's
horrible. That wasn't good. Another miss. If anyone saw the Galladay play in Detroit, it's phenomenal. They're in a two-minute drill.
I didn't see that.
Galladay makes a catch going into score on their side of the field, on the other side of the field, at about the 33.
Yes.
He gets up in the two-minute drill. He runs to the middle field, spots it on the hash at the 30. Galladay puts it on the hash at the 30. The official comes in, puts it back down on the 30. They spike the ball. They gain 3 yards because Galladay went and spotted the ball for the Lions.
Really? He missed spotted it three favorably.
Favorably, 3 yards forward.
Love that.
And they missed it.
I love that.
That was awesome. But the Goff-Gurley thing, really interesting. And the Rams aren't very good up front right now.
No.
And everybody's playing them
why
to stop the fly
Sullivan,
sweeps.
Why didn't they bring Sullivan
I don't
back?
Know. I don't know. And Whitworth is 100 right now. He's struggling.
They've got a lot of problems.
They have some problems up front. And they've traded away all of their draft assets.
Yep. And they're over. And they're overspent.
And they're overspent.
Hey. Well, hey. Maybe, you know.
Pittsburgh's really good on defense. Adding Minkah Fitzpatrick was absolutely huge. This was the rumor.
Huge.
This was
That's
crazy
an understatement
too.
Of the century.
But this was one of the crazy things about this was one of the rumors with Miami was we just don't know how to play him. We don't know where. How about play him at safety? He's really good there.
He's everywhere.
Just play him at safety?
He's got five scores. I think he's got five scores.
I mean, he's got a couple tip picks and he's right place, right time.
Fumble recover, scoop score.
He's
clinching pick. It's him. And you just anytime the ball's in a defender's hand, it's him.
They're in it. Pittsburgh's in it. Pittsburgh and Oakland are in it because of Kansas City losing and because of Indy losing. By the way, what the hell is Miami doing? I thought they were tanking.
Well, Indy has Vinatieri as the kicker, and he is don't look it up. Don't look it up.
I won't.
Out of 20 PATs, which you call field goals, out of 20 point after touchdowns, how many has he made?
I don't know.
14.
He's missed six?
He's missed 6 point after touchdowns, and he's still on the roster. He's missed field goals, too. I mean, God bless the guy. He's like 49 years old, but that's a pretty good team. That's a team in contention in their division. They're 5-4, Indy is. They're not tanking. They can go to the playoffs. If he can make a point after, they might be competitive. It's unbelievable. Look what New England has switched kickers like every week.
And Bill never does that.
Well, the guy, you know, I think Guskowski is hurt or something. They brought Nugent and I saw he was gone. You're going to bring somebody in who's going to make the kicks, man. And Vinatieri, there's no future with Vinatieri. And talk about the yips.
Well, he's in because you count on him making field goals.
He can't make them.
And you think you're a playoff team.
He can't make them. He's just move on. I'm surprised. Hey, Devontae, has he been released today? Vinatieri. No, not yet. I figured he would have been
released
by now.
He made the game winner a week ago.
Well, yeah, but yesterday, they lost by 4, and he missed a PAT, which would have made it a 3-point margin, which meant a field goal would have tied it for him. They didn't get the point is moot, but heck, make the kicks, PAT. But you know what? Now I know why you call it a field goal. Because it's long enough to be a field goal.
Wouldn't it be fun?
Folks, Cooley calls point after touchdowns field goals. He's been doing it all year. I don't know why.
Been doing it my whole life.
Yeah. It's okay because you think your kicker is easy.
I know how many points the point after field goal is worth.
The point after field goal is worth 1.
Yeah, the point after field goal is worth 1. The field goal in the field is worth 1.
The field goal to you is what's called a place kick to most people. It's a field goal.
Two more thoughts. 1, Kansas City, Tennessee was amazing.
Phew, you know what? That's a guy who missed a field goal too, right? They missed a field goal to win it or tie it.
They didn't miss a field goal.
Kansas City?
They got a field goal blocked.
Oh, I thought they missed it.
No, and it looked like he jumped. It was the most perfect time snap you've ever seen of all time. It got blocked off the edge. It was timed to perfection.
Well, they were looking at the ball. All he had to do was look in at the ball.
But they had another opportunity before that to kick a field goal, and they botched
maybe there's a hitch in the guy's
– The one preceding, they missed – so Tennessee goes for it on 4th-and-17. They're down 4 at the time on their own side of the ball. Almost an amazing catch by Woods. Don't get it. They get a 3-and-out. They had 3 timeouts. They use all their 3 timeouts. The center snaps it to the holder, and the holder's not looking. So then he throws it up and throws it away, and they get an intentional grounding. Tennessee actually declines the penalty which would have given him 10 more yards so they don't take the 10-second runoff because grounding within the last 2 minutes is a 10-second runoff.
Right.
They go down and score. Tannehill looked great in that game. One of the things that people really criticize Andy Reid for, and I don't even know if it mattered, also Romo on the game, was Tennessee ends up going for two. They're up one. They go for two. Before they go for two, Andy Reid uses one of his three timeouts with 23 seconds. Like, I don't have my look on the field. You're like, you're going to want one of those timeouts in the last 23 seconds of the game. He actually didn't need one of the timeouts, was the odd thing.
Well, they got a field goal position.
But the thing was, is like, your best case is three plays.
How'd they get the ball in the field goal range of 23 seconds?
Mahomes, they had a decent return, and Mahomes threw a dart down the field, and they get back in field goal range. It was like a 52-yarder.
Boom,
got
boom,
blocked
timeout,
off the edge.
Timeout, field goal.
Because their timing was judged perfectly by Tennessee. Really? That's a huge win for Vrabel. Huge win.
That's
but Tannehill, I think Tannehill's like 4-1 in his last five starts.
They got the other
guy
out of hurry, didn't they?
Yeah.
Former first-round pick. What was his name again?
Marcus Mariota. It'll be interesting where he goes. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was just Lamar Jackson is unbelievable right now.
You know what? I was watching him 2 years ago. Louisville was playing Florida. Yeah, I was watching him. It was at Louisville 3 years ago.
But imagine if Deion was coaching.
Yes, and he had a run that was similar to the touchdown run he had yesterday. He juked a guy. He juked a guy, then he spun a guy, and then he kind of plowed into the end zone. It was like a 70-yard touchdown run in college. I said, guy's never going to be able to do this in the pros. No way is he ever going to be able to do this in the pros. Wow. If he could do it, people are grasping at air as he comes to them. They have no idea. Just hope the guy stays healthy, really. I mean, you'd hate to see
That's what everyone's concerned about.
Talent like that, you know, he's just not that big.
It's interesting, this NFL MVP thing will flip-flop between him and Russell Wilson as the season goes, and other guys could get into it based on the back half of the season. But
yeah, long way
right
go.
Now, Lamar Jackson's the MVP, but Russell Wilson's got a big game tonight, and he could be the MVP if he beats the 49ers. So they'll flip-flop back and forth.
Nobody's voting anytime soon, but Jackson, obviously, very special player. Obviously, they're doing everything they can to play to his strengths. And huge pickup for them was Mark Ingram. He really keeps the defense honest because he's a power back, and he's going to punish you. And then if he pulls it, look out. Look out every time Jackson's in the open field.
Well, every time he runs, look out. He doesn't even really go through a progression. It's amazing. And I'm so proud of him for doing it in this way, becoming the checkdown. No one wants to do this as a quarterback. They all want to be Tom Brady or they all want to be Peyton Manning.
He has become the checkdown.
And that was how Robert was coached in his first year here.
Right.
I was sitting in those meetings. It's third down and five. You don't like your one. You're the checkdown. Run. But Lamar's a better runner.
He is.
I think it was so funny because when I was doing the show with Kevin, whatever, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, before the draft, I said, Lamar Jackson's best running back in the draft.
I remember you saying that.
And I remember you saying that. People killed me for it.
No, I remember you saying that.
I didn't say that if he would do that, I said, if he'd just be the slasher, do whatever you ask him to do, he's the first pick of the draft. If he'll do anything you want him to do, because he was saying, I'm a quarterback. I'm not doing anything but playing quarterback.
Well, they're using him right.
They are using him right.
Yeah, so.
And he is electrifying.
He is.
But the thing is he's got good touch, and he's got a good ball when he's outside of the pocket, when it's off-script.
You probably
like that guy, Ricard,
don't you? You like that big guy, Ricard. Is that how you say his name? 42, 300-pound defensive lineman, plays fullback as well.
Oh, yeah.
Patrick Ricard or Rickard or?
I don't care how you say his name, 42.
He's just
– I love how they built their roster. They have three really good tight ends. They have Hollywood Brown. They have good weapons. I love what they did.
Hey,
Greg Roman would be one of those interesting guys at the end of the year.
That quarterback, he's sticking with that quarterback, believe me. He ain't going nowhere. He's sticking with him. He's not going to go anywhere.
Why? Whoever drafts Tua is going to say, Greg Roman might do that. He did it with Colin Kaepernick. He's doing it with Lamar Jackson.
Tua doesn't have the running ability of Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but he still has that running ability to make him the 11th guy you have to play. Yeah. You don't have to play 11 in the run game.
Not like that guy.
Nobody's like that guy, but that's what Tua is going to be. But that's what Tua – look, I don't discount that Tua can throw the football. But without his true innate ability to run the football, he's not as scary. So you're not utilizing his best assets. Lamar Jackson, there was a really
check with me at the end of the year on this, sir.
There was a really interesting interaction where Harbaugh came up to Lamar Jackson in the game, and he's talked about you're changing the game for young kids. You're gonna change the game. And it's so true. He can be that quarterback that changes the game. And I'll just go with how
you. Keep in mind, don't forget, he's an extremely unique athlete, okay? That guy is incredible. That's not your everyday,
I know.
That's not your everyday football player you're going to see who wants to be a quarterback one day or wants to be a running
back.
There
are a lot of players.
He is ridiculous. Ridiculous.
He's ridiculous. I agree with you.
He's ridiculous. So, he might be changing the game, but I've only seen one of him my whole life.
Well, Michael Vick was him.
Yeah, I guess to a certain degree.
Michael Vick was him.
Yeah, maybe a better thrower of the ball.
Robert could have been similar to what he Robert didn't want to do that.
No, he got hurt.
But he still didn't. He got better. He didn't get better in game
Robert's
one.
Story,
he didn't get
Robert's,
better in week one.
Robert's
but
story is unique, and I'm glad he's still
Robert rushed. Robert had a 70-yard run against Minnesota on 3rd and 10.
I was there. Yes.
So
I remember that.
But quarterbacks, once they get to the NFL, don't want to do that because the deal has been that you don't know how to pay these guys.
Right.
And they are worried that they're going to get hurt. He is concerned that he's going to be hurt at some point.
Rightfully so.
If he gets hurt a couple times in the next 2 years, we're really going to have to qualify him as what? How do we pay him?
Yeah.
What's he going to be? Does he develop further as a passer as we get into year 4, 5, and 6 like Russell Wilson did? Mm-hmm. Because then we can pay him. Who wins tonight? Seattle beat San Fran? Let's get out of here.
I take Seattle. I just think San Fran can't keep it going, and I think Kittle's out, right?
Is Kittle out?
I don't know. I heard he didn't practice all week. Maybe by now he's ready to go. He's a key guy for them.
He's
a big-time key for
them. The key guy on offense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got a lot of good players, like their running game, but Kittle is hard to cover. He's really hard to cover.
And Russell Wilson can make the best defenses look pedestrian.
He can make things happen. Old Russ.
How did we stop him 2 years ago? How did we win that game in Seattle 2 years ago?
I don't remember.
I just keep thinking it was raining.
I know that.
It's always raining in Seattle.
I know. All right, my friend.
All right. There will be more football this week.
Yes, we've got a football game. Redskins and Jets coming up. Should be
an
interesting game.
We're firmly in second place for the draft. Firmly.
Not after Sunday we won't be.
We could still be.
Well, Cincinnati's going to be number one regardless. Because the Redskins are winning Sunday, buddy. They're winning Sunday against the Jets. I'm telling you right now. Devontae, yeah. Redskins win it Sunday.
W.
See? Devontae thinks it's the Redskins. I have no
reason to think the Redskins can't win on Sunday.
Riggo's going to pick the Redskins for the pregame show?
I'm telling you right now that we're firmly in number two for this draft.
Okay, well, you got seven weeks to go before that draft order is confirmed, my friend. So we'll see.
I'd like to see? Let's end on this note.
Okay.
I'd like to see Dwayne Jackson. Lamar Jackson. I'd like to see Dwayne.
Haskins,
our quarterback, not Dwayne Jackson. Finish strong.
Yes.
That's what everyone wants to see.
Everyone wants to see that. And that means win. I know that pains some people out there who are looking for that high draft pick, but if you're part of that team, you want to win.
Well, part of finishing strong would be let's lead the team down the field in a critical situation late in the game to take a lead and win a game. Let's make big plays on big moments.
People want to see what he can do. They want him to gain experience. 7 games, man. You got some tough games coming up. You got to finish at Dallas. You got to play the Eagles. You got to play
the Giants.
That Dallas
game looks like Dallas is probably going to need a win in that game.
At Green Bay, sir. At Green Bay for Dwayne Haskins Jr. At Carolina against Riverboat Ron.
Ron.
Hey, Riverboat Ron. You a gambler?
Not on fourth down. On
Not
the,
if it's
on the
analytics
side of the field.
I
don't think so. All right. Thanks.
Goodbye.
Larry,
goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
I'm done.
Goodbye, Devontae.
That was good, man. I don't know how long we went.